Hello and welcome to Mining Stock Daily with me, Paul Harris. Today, I'm joined by Tony Reader, President and CEO of Tectonic Minerals. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Tectonic, you put out a belter of a drill result this morning, 5 meters grading sort of 12 grams a ton of gold. Tell us about that and what that means for you.
Yeah, most definitely. And thank you once again. So we announced our first set of results from the 2021 drill season. This is just a small snippet of what's to come. There's a slew of additional holes that are backlogged in the assay labs. It's the backlog is something it's industry wide here, but we're eagerly anticipating, probably about 85% of our drill holes. So a lot more news to come in the ensuing months. But the ones we announced yesterday were the first few holes. We actually hit on the very first hole, and that was that sort of highlight intercept of roughly 12.5 grams per ton gold over 5 meters. But what was in there was a 41 grammer. And then there was additional holes, about four other that intersected gold mineralization, almost 6 grams per ton over 7 meters and so on and so forth. But the gist of those holes, or the objective, was to go into areas where we previously made discoveries. These drill discoveries that were done in the past did not utilize oriented drill core. And for those listeners that don't know what that entails, this is diamond core drilling. So you have a solid sort of tubular, depending on the size, 2 to 3 inches in diameter. And you orient your core. And what that does, it gives you confirmation, or it can give you confirmation of the orientation of the mineralization. If this is vein-hosted gold mineralization, and there's some structurally non-vein gold in there as well, but it gives you that structural orientation, and it gives you the ability to identify potential plunge, so dip in orientation, and then also what's controlling the high-grade mineralization. So long story short, we were successful in achieving that objective, and now we have we have mapped mineralization and the sense of where it's going. Both the two zones that were drilled, this is our TIBS project in Alaska near the Pogo gold mine, and those two gold zones are roughly 250 and 275 meters of mineralized strike. One of those zones only goes down to about 120 meters vertical, and the mineralization doesn't stop there. That's just the extent of deep drilling, and so it's completely open at depth actually at both zones. The other zone was drilled down to 250 meters vertical previously. So we have depth potential, we have strike potential, and we have high grade gold. Now it's a matter of targeting that high grade gold more going forward here, and seeing if you can define something that's potentially economic.
Thank you, Tony. This year has been, in many ways, the real startup year for the company and for the project. And you mentioned the TIBS project. You're in Alaska, less than 100 kilometers from Pogo. And you sort of talk of the project or the area as being a sort of an analog for Pogo. What does that really mean, and how does that help you with your exploration effort?
Yeah, definitely. It's when you're in the shadow of a mine, and this is Pogo is roughly the gold resource there is 6 million ounces of gold at an average head grade of just over 10 grams per ton gold. It's been in production for over a decade here, and it's still going, and they're still making discoveries there. So they, the owners of that mine, actually developed the Pogo geological model, and they actually made the initial discovery on our property back in the mid-1990s. So that model didn't exist when they drilled our property. So we're the first company since this invention of this model, the updated model, which came out in 2013, we're the first ones to apply it to our property. So it's exciting knowing what the potential of the property could be, and having that Pogo-style mineralization is extremely important and exciting as well. Because if you're targeting a Pogo lookalike, you got to know what the thing looks like, or what it resembles, what's its characteristics. So the fact that it was previously discovered by the same group that discovered Pogo should tell you that it is similar. And then geochemically and structurally, it's identical to. Now, this is not all the zones at TIBS. This is one particular zone, like the Graylead zone that we've drilled. To date, to my knowledge at least, Graylead is the only Pogo-like zone that's produced high-grade gold in drilling And so that's got us excited, because we know what potentially the target is here. And we're applying this model to actually make new discoveries as well on the property, which again has never been done on our property.
I imagine that's part of the importance of having the oriented drill core, because you've got a model that you're trying to, you know, measure things against, and the oriented drill core gives you the ability to, I guess, transpose that onto the model and find out where you are within that model, and therefore where you need to go.
Exactly. And I can get a little bit more nerdy about the model as well. Let's get nerdy. Yeah. Now you're talking. You know, this model, it consists of, you know, I'm talking still in relatively layman's term, but there's a high angle component to it, and high angle structures feed the low angle structures. So at Pogo, they actually mine both sets of structures. But that high angle structure wasn't actually identified at Pogo till 2013. So that's why they updated this geological model. What's interesting at Tibbs is that we've always had the high angle structure. The question is, where's that low angle? And if the high angle is feeding the low angle, then you know, the two are equally important, if you will, in understanding sort of what's driving the fluids, why they are situated where they are. And Grayling is a high angle structure that's produced pogo-like gold mineralization. And we believe that there's an anomaly to the west of it, which we're coincidentally calling Grayling West, that has never been drilled before. It's in the right host rocks. And there could be the manifestation of the soil, plus where we did a Titan geophysical survey is showing a low angle geophysical anomaly. So could the Grayling high angle vein be feeding a low angle vein or low angle structure at this Grayling West? And that's something that we've drilled this year. We put three holes into it. And the importance of doing oriented core is you want to see, you know, it's the highest level of data can be obtained from diamond drilling versus say reverse circulation or RAB drilling. You know, holding core, there's nothing like it. So, you know, seeing what the core looks like, what the veining looks like, what the orientation is critical. And then the orienting your core allows us to sort of figure out that plunge and the dip and target it for additional drill holes. So stay tuned on results. We're eagerly anticipating what potentially is there. But if we could find that elusive low angle that wasn't previously discovered, it would really unlock the potential at that property. You know, if whether or not it carries gold is still yet to be determined. The assay gods will tell us that. Yeah. But yeah, as we're talking about nerdy now, I would still be excited just by the fact technically it's success if you could find that low angle, which again has never really been uncovered in diamond drilling before.
Okay, thank you. Now you mentioned that this is part of the first drilling on the project, so and you've got assays pending. So I imagine that the delays in the assay labs must be really, really frustrating, given that you're at the stage where you're really trying to put the geology together and discover and work out where it's going. So you need that information sort of yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, just to clarify, this is the first oriented diamond drilling campaign on the property. And yeah, you know, when you're exploring, you know, you want to use the assay results to obtain, you know, obviously geological data and know if you're hitting gold or not. You can have indications, and sometimes visually you can get excited, but you know, Mother Nature has the innate ability to always humble you, and you're never smarter than the assays. So it is a bit frustrating. We were definitely hoping that we would get assay results sooner to inform us where to drill. So that being said, we did bring another drill site based on some of the visuals that we were seeing, and we wanted to drill more, and also based on some new surface anomalies that we already uncovered, or let's just say discovered, that we wanted to get more meters in. I would have loved to have assay results back in July and then utilize that to ramp up or even to raise more capital. You know, that's not, you know, when you put out good, not that we necessarily needed it, but you know, always on the back of good results, you know, you get the market's attention, and that can lead to bringing in new investors and new capital injection, which then can lead to a more robust program, so on and so forth. So you can only control what you can control. It is what it is. And for better or for worse, I'm glad we're all in it together, that it's not just us that are facing the backlog. But no, I think the labs ultimately are doing what they can. And obviously there's increased product going in. There's probably COVID situations uncovering there, like limited manpower, social distancing. There's outbreaks that things that everything sort of delayed things tremendously. So we shall see. Ultimately, if there's gold in those holes, I don't think anyone's going to care. But you got adaptability is key in this in the life that we're living in right now.
Absolutely. And so for the rest of the year and going into next year, what's the drill plan? What areas are going to be the sort of focus for your exploration effort
for next year?
Yeah, going into next year.
Well, yeah, good question. You know, I do have some thoughts and preliminary ideas. Gray Lead and Michigan, which we announced, as you said yesterday, those actually definitely warrant follow-up. But we really need the assays to tell us how, you know, is there merit to these other zones? And what I'd like to uncover is, you know, there's a certain threshold we have in mind. You know, the last thing I want to do is raise capital and drill something that ends up being uneconomic. No, sometimes it's like dating. You're not going to know if she's the one off the first date. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, but you know, sometimes you got to give it 6 months, a year, or whatever it may be. So it's kind of the same thing with these geological targets. So I can't say specifically what we're going to do next year, but there's enough meat on the bone already to start thinking about, you know, a follow-up diamond campaign. It's just going to be, how big and how aggressive, are we talking here? So unfortunately, we have to stay tuned for the final answer on that question.
And I think you alluded to this. You've got a pretty healthy cash position at the moment. Mm-hmm. So you're not sort of, desperate for drill results, so you can raise cash. You've got enough money to go well into next year by the looks of things.
Mm-hmm. We do. But, again, depending on diamond drilling is, the costliest form of drilling, if you will. So, we probably want to beef up the treasury if we decide to go down that path. But yes, we do have enough funds to carry us into next year. It's just, again, how aggressive do you want to be with the drill?
Okay, thank you. I want to sort of step back a little bit because the company Tectonic, you've got quite a bit of the sort of, let's say, the core team that was at Kaminak, yourself, for example, Ira Thomas, Alison Ripping Armstrong as chair. Obviously, you're the other side of the border now in the United States rather than in Yukon in Canada. Why the sort of change of jurisdictions?
We're still fans of the Yukon, and when Tectonic was initially founded, we did have an asset in the Yukon. That political border that separates Yukon and Alaska is by no stretch a geological border. The Mother Nature does not discriminate between political borders, so the geology carries through. So we love that aspect. We don't always work in the north, but for whatever reason, we always go back to the north, and whether that's northern Canada, the northern United States, we just have a fondness for it. And I guess anyone that's spent time living or working in the north probably can understand where I'm going with that. Alaska, so geologically, was very well and is very well endowed, I should say. A lot of the, 7 producing mines, infrastructure is great for a northern jurisdiction, straightforward permitting regime. It was completely forgotten, at least it seemed when we looked at it back in 2016. There's all these mines and there's no one around. Case in point, the Pogo mine in the Good Pasture District of Alaska, if that was located in Ontario or Quebec, it would be riddled with multiple headframes, a slew of juniors and probably other majors working in there. But here you have this high grade, I would call it world-class mine, and there's no one in sight. So a lot of opportunity. Geologically, good evidence for tier one type deposits. And also the reason why we moved into Alaska is specifically in regard to work on native owned land with the native corporations. I think any time you can work directly with a group that is pro-business, pro-mining, and is not probably as regulated as, say, the government or the federal system there, it's a huge plus. So we saw the ability to work directly on native owned land versus, say, state land and federal land as a huge opportunity. Aligning interests right at the beginning, defined land tenure, if you will, was enough to get us excited. So it ticked a lot of boxes. And, you know, we could go far in a broad, say, let's just say outside of North America. And we've dabbled a bit in to that regard. But, you know, the appetite for risk in our industry is getting less and less, and the ability to work in your, and I'm just going to call it our backyard, is very attractive. And it's, you know, we speak the same language. Logistically, it's easy to get to. And then again, like I said, geologically, the Native Corporation, it just said, you know, I asked myself, why not Alaska? You know, why aren't we working there? And I think there's already been a lot of movement by a lot of companies to come back home. And I think that's going to continue as, you know, whether it's resource nationalism, other environmental risk, or just, you know, jurisdictional risk is quite alive and real. Investors in mining companies are having a little bit less appetite for that.
Well, I wanted to sort of dig into that a little bit more, because I think that's, you know, fascinating and a real confluence of, you know, a company working with local interest. Because correct me if I'm wrong, you're working with the Doyen Native American Regional Corporation or regional sort of Native American sort of band, and you know, that gives you, I guess, some sort of local political clout or access to local political clout. They've got a direct interest in the success of the project, and as we're seeing with, you know, companies like Trilogy Metals, they're able to sort of really harness a lot of effort to get behind a project. And in your particular instance, I think Doyen's got a 15% ownership interest in Tectonic as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're very proud and honored and humbled by that that investment into our company. That's not something you see every day. Like, we're actually backed by Native Americans, you know, in a jurisdiction we're working in. You know, it's one thing to lease a property from them, and it's another for them to say, you know what, we're actually going to give you our capital. You know, it's usually the other way around, but you know, a Native corporation is going to actually invest in our company, giving us capital to utilize to explore their ground is remarkable. And it really speaks to, again, aligning all interests. So you can be a stakeholder. Now, the difference between stakeholder and shareholder, there's one and the same, but it's, you know, I'm just going to use the two different terms for this case. But, you know, they've transitioned from stakeholder to now shareholder. So they have a project interest. They, due to the fact that we're working on their land, there's a lease agreement, they have a royalty, so on and so forth. But now they've come over on the equity side, and as a shareholder, they have a seat at the table. So it's remarkable that they've done that. And they've done that two times now. They've invested in our company, and we hope that that relationship continues to flourish. And we're all pulling on that same lever, and that's to find a mine and to do that in a manner that's mutually beneficial. So it's not just like Tectonic walks away with this huge win. You know, if we win, they win. And I love the fact that we've done that at the beginning, not at the, you know, halfway through, or when you have a deposit already defined and you're going into permitting. There's nothing wrong with that, but the fact that you can establish this relationship and understanding at the beginning is cherished. And I think it's remarkable.
Absolutely. You get that sort of full alignment there. And I think it's very interesting. They've participated in more than one financing. Mm-hmm. So they're interested in maintaining their 15% and not mm-hmm. diluting out. Well, at least not now. Okay. Well, congratulations on a great hole once again, Tony. That's all we've got time for today. Join us again on Mining Stock Daily for more interviews coming soon. Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mining Stock Daily. All the best to you and your listeners.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak to a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.